And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, this was some weekend. We woke up Saturday morning to find out the United States government was at war with Iran.
Is it a war if we don't declare war?
Is it a war if we don't declare a war? Well, it's certainly a crime if you have a war without declaring a war. You have to declare a war to make it something other than murder.
Well, but we've had a whole bunch of wars that haven't been declared since World War II.
Yeah, every one of them. But that doesn't mean they weren't all crimes. They all violated the law. There are laws. One of them is called the Constitution that says the Congress declares war.
The Congress.
The president takes an oath to uphold the Constitution. So Korea, police action. Vietnam, police action. Grenada, police action. Everything's a police action. No war, right?
Well, don't forget, with this administration, the Constitution really doesn't matter. Remember, Trump said the only thing that he's constrained by is his own view of morality?
Right, exactly. Right.
Which, I mean...
For a man who's been convicted
who has
of sexual...
No morality.
He's been convicted of sexual assault. So what morality are we talking about?
He has no morality.
Well, no, he does have a morality, a very bad one.
Well, he has a methodology.
Yeah.
Anything I do is okay. And catch me if you can. Stop me if you can.
But let's face it, this war, he had to justify it somehow. So he made a case. He says the Iranians threatened the interests of the United States. There's a threat to the United States from Iran. But there is no threat from Iran to the United States. What threat? They don't have any way to reach the United States militarily. They have no economic threat. He claims he destroyed their atomic energy research and fabrication facilities. He obliterated it, he said. So what's the threat?
Well, it's not an existential threat to the United States.
There's no imminent threat. The war is justified if there's an imminent threat. There are two types of war. There's a war of choice, and there's a war of necessity. A war of necessity is legal in international law, which the United States has signed on to those treaties, and it's part of American law. The war of necessity is legal. The war of choice is illegal everywhere, across the board. So for there to be a war of necessity, there has to be an imminent threat. What's the imminent threat?
Well, in some ways, he had a better case last summer when he attacked Iran with their nuclear facilities that they were allegedly enriching towards weapons grade. But that, like you said, he said he obliterated it. So the urgency or the necessity doesn't appear to be there in that regard.
Richard Haass, who was the former president of the Council on Foreign Relations and is by no means a liberal, said he asks the question, why now? And he says it's not as if Iran poses a threat to our interests that it hasn't for 47 years. That's a big point. That's the whole point.
Yes. Yep. Trump and the supporters would say 47 years is enough.
That's exactly what he does say. But there's still no threat. It could be 47 years. It could be 147 years. There's no threat. If either there's a threat or there's no threat.
Well, there's these lesser threats. Don't forget, The Iranian allies, the Houthis, attacking shipping. There's the Iranian threat to shut down. And I think they declared once this attack happened that they're shutting down the Straits of Hormuz, through which a lot of the world's oil flows.
Yeah, but the key phrase in your last sentence was once this attack happened. They didn't shut down the Straits of Hormuz, and they didn't threaten to unless they were attacked. If they shut it down now, they can claim a war of necessity. But Trump can't. Trump violated international law. He is guilty, and the American government is guilty of a war crime with this, as that is understood by every civilized country, but not by Trump, who, you know, is not a socialized, and I don't mean socialist, I mean socialized human being.
Yeah, Trump, a lot of this is Trump's personality. And I'm kind of reminded of the title of Leni Riefenstahl's great work about Adolf Hitler.
Triumph of the Will?
The Triumph of the Will. And Donald Trump has a very strong will. He totally believes in himself, and he gets people, and he purposely surrounds himself with people that will accede to his will. He doesn't like opposition. He doesn't like anything he can't control. His business was a small little business in terms of structure, where he made all of the decisions and everybody deferred to him. This is why he goes after institutions, both international and national, anything that where there's a power base that he is not directing that power, he has to usurp or undermine. And this is not unique to Trump. Ruth Ben-Ghiat would tell you this is what strongmen do and how they operate.
But he's not a strong man. He's a would-be strong man.
Well, he gives the perception of being a strong man. And the acts, or this war in itself, of bombings and destroying things in Iran, give those people that are drawn to a strong man reason to be even more drawn to him. He will get, for as many people as are going to oppose this, he will get new people who are going to come to his side in this regard.
So you know, what you're saying is it's a variant of the movie Wag the Dog.
Yeah, it is. And don't forget, this was a week when the Epstein files reemerged, thanks to the incompetence of the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Trump got up there, gave a State of the Union address, again, claiming that he's strong and the Democrats are weak,
mm-hmm.
and giving out medals and whatnot. And then 2 days later, you have the Republicans in Congress having everybody focus on Hillary and Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
The Epstein files are there.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, the focus is off of the Epstein files, but they'll go back on because they're not going away. The survivors aren't going away. And the incompetence of the way that they're hiding things or releasing things is, you know, they're not going away.
But the thing is, with this attack on Iran, he really widens what was already a pretty wide split within the MAGA movement.
Yes.
You have the ultra-right of the ultra-right who really believed that this guy was against going to war. who, and especially didn't want to go to war in the Middle East. Marjorie Taylor Greene says he's betrayed them. And she's only one of them. There's many that are saying the same thing. Now, Bannon says it. Fuentes says it. Tucker Carlson says it.
Tom Massie.
Tom Massie says it. Candace Owens says it. And God knows how many they represent. I mean, if everybody who listens to Candace Owens follows Candace Owens, that's a couple of million people right there.
Yeah.
So he split his movement with this. That's a hell of a way of building a coalition.
Well, I don't think he's afraid of the split, because he feels that the alternative, these folks won't go for the alternative.
They may not, but they don't have to go for anybody. They could stay home.
That's exactly where I was going. And that's what's been happening in all of these elections that have, these interim elections that have been going on across the country for the last year or
well, since he took office,
months.
Really, yeah.
And we continue, like this week we had that again, the two votes in Pennsylvania, where Democrats won in Democratic-leaning districts, but they've outperformed again.
Mm-hmm. That's the point. They outperformed.
They outperformed, and part of that is because the Republicans are staying home. The other thing, though, it's kind of interesting, is Trump's disapproval poll numbers are a little bit better, at least in the last week or so, for some reason, than they have been. He's gone back up towards the 40 mark, or a little bit above the 40 mark in approval versus disapproval. But
look at what you're saying. You're talking about that 60% and more mm-hmm. disapprove.
Yeah.
60% or more disapprove. Well,
but he only needs the 40% because it's so cohesive. Remember,
and gerrymandered,
right? Hitler came to power. He didn't have
he had a quarter.
Yeah, he had fewer than what Trump has.
Yeah,
but he was able to consolidate that and use that and wedge that into a greater thing because of the triumph of his will.
So let me ask you this. How about this war exists because it provides a good basis for canceling the election, or at least postponing it?
Well, that's part of it. But it plays both ways. Let me tell you why it plays both ways. He can say that because of the situation, it's necessary, there's a national emergency. On the other hand, and where they've been going on this, you know, we were wondering why the Tulsi Gabbard, the national security advisor, was down in Georgia when they're grabbing the ballots from the 2020 election.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears there was a somebody released this plan this week about that people like Mike Flynn have been fomenting about how to cancel the 2026 elections.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to try now to blame the Chinese for interfering in the election. And so they were trying to supposedly gather evidence. I think it looks like they're trying to plant evidence
mm-hmm.
of that in the 2020 and then say, see, this is going to happen. But getting back to Iran, remember, Iran and China are allied.
Mm-hmm.
And if Iran falls or falls out of the China sphere, then there's fewer reasons to support the emergency. He's taken out one of the players. The Iranians have been pretty active in hacking into things in the United States. At least the Islamists in the Iranian sphere. So you were talking beforehand, and like you said, sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for. It's the old thing. the dog chasing the car and finally catching it, and not knowing exactly what to do with it.
The important thing to note is that nothing that Trump did say to justify the attack was truthful. And therefore, he had nothing that justified the attack. So the question is, then why did he do the attack? There's got to be some reason. Now, nutty people will say Netanyahu has a hold on him and can force him to do it. But that's not true. He may love Bibi and he may feel obligated to Bibi, but Bibi doesn't have any hold on him if he doesn't want to be held by Bibi. Bibi has an interest in this attack. He wants this attack. This attack is the culmination of a 15-year campaign that Netanyahu has carried out as a way to avoid having to have a just settlement with the 7 million Palestinians who are in Israel, and some way to make peace with the Arab nations and avoid making peace with the Palestinians by allying with Saudi Arabia against Iran. The best thing to do, therefore, was to have a war with Iran. He's got that. Now, supposing the Americans win this war, supposing they manage to overthrow the Iranian government, Bibi's strategy will have succeeded, except it wouldn't have succeeded because he's still got 7 million Palestinians living in Israel. And now he doesn't have the specter of Iran to unite with Saudi Arabia. So what happens? It's a conundrum for these guys. But it can't be that Trump just bought into it to help Bibi out. He's got something that he wants out of it. It may be Iranian oil.
Well, probably if there's something there, it is oil.
Yeah, it is oil. But I think it gives him the basis for saying we've got a national emergency. After all, there's no national emergency in terms of Iran today. We have a war, but there's no immediate threat from Iran. There was no race for a bomb. They weren't making a bomb. They didn't have missiles. The American intelligence agency said it would take Iran 10 years of concentrated work to develop the missile technology needed for Iran to reach the United States. So they don't have it, and they weren't doing it. So therefore, there was no imminent threat. It's just a war of choice. So why did he choose it? He chose it because he's going to get something out of it, or he thinks he's going to get something out of it. Seems to me what the easiest thing to imagine he'll get out of it is a postponement of the election, illegal postponement. Or who's going to stop him? The Supreme Court?
Well, they're not. The Trump people aren't obeying the courts right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
In that.
Yeah.
You know, the Iranian strategy was you may have pegged, you know, what they could do now, but their strategy was to weaken the United States around the edges by doing other things.
All right, I understand that, but that's the strategy. But they had no effective, they had no imminent threat against the United States. There was no way that they could really threaten the United States in any way. And you can see even now, it's only a couple of days of the bombing and the counterattacks from Iran, but there are no effective counterattacks from Iran in the first 48 hours.
We found out 6 months ago, the previous war with them, that they really didn't have an effective strategy or an effective ability, I should say.
That's
they
right.
were able to do certain things. They launched a lot of missiles and drones, and they've been building drones like crazy.
But they're not effectively deployed. They don't hit the target.
And this time they have less of a capacity,
right,
to do things on that scale as we're seeing. We're seeing them attack the other Arab nations, the Sunni Arab nations that surround Iran.
Well, these are the nations where there are U.S. bases.
Yeah, but they're not hitting all the bases.
They didn't say they would hit the bases. They said they would aim for where the bases were. I don't think. I mean, they're telling people, listen, we're gonna make you suffer if we can, and that's what they're doing. All right, that's what they're doing. That's their strategy. I'm not trying to make a case for the Iranians. I'm just saying the American government can't help the Iranian people. The American government, which is dominated by people whose outlook on life is precisely the outlook of the theologians who run the Iranian government, except that they use Christianity instead of Islam, but they have exactly the same approach to life, exactly the same approach to government, exactly the same approach to how societies should be run. People can't help the Iranians people achieve freedom.
Yeah, well, now we're talking about religious extremism, fundamental.
That's what you got.
Religious extremism. And on a certain level, all fundamental religions have much in common.
Yeah. I don't see that Ben-Gavir in Israel or Jerry Falwell in America or Khamenei in Iran differ in their fundamentals. They differ only in the expression of the fundamental. But what they say, what they believe, what they aim for, they all aim for the same thing.
Yeah. In America, the women can drive cars.
Yeah.
By themselves.
Right.
But
not if these Christian dominionists get their way, because they believe women should be subordinated to men and should not work and should do what men tell them. And
have
men don't want them to drive cars, then they can't drive cars.
And have babies. You're into that.
And have babies, yes, exactly.
You're into that dystopian novel with the women all dressed in red robes and what's the name? I keep forgetting the name of it. But anyway, the Iranians would murder people for not having their hair covered.
Yes, exactly. Precisely.
Things like that. But that's nothing to it too, because if you remember after the 9/11 attacks, the UN did a study about Middle East society, Arab society, and said that one of the great weaknesses was the way they treat women.
Well, there are plenty of the Indian society, the Republic of India, that society
right.
does the same thing.
Yeah, and they're
enemies of the Muslims.
Their leaders are.
They're anti-Muslim. They massacre Muslims. They carry out pogroms against Muslims. They kill thousands of them. But they have the same exact view of how society should be run. Only they want to run it.
Yeah.
None of these people should be in government. Is the American government going to go to war against all of them? And are they capable of it? Hegseth, after all, believes exactly the same thing that the Ayatollahs believe. Exactly. He belongs to a church, a dominionist church. He can't in any way offer an example or a strategy for the liberation of the Iranian people. It's not possible. And these guys lie about what they're about. What it all comes down to in the end is domination of other countries by American corporations. The end result will be, we'll end up, if they win, they'll end up seizing the Iranian oil fields.
Well, and theft. That theft for the leadership.
Yeah, exactly.
Which the Trump people have been very good at. I mean, if the one thing that they're competent of has been grifting.
Yeah.
I saw one of the reports Saturday after the strikes that there were about a half a dozen bets placed on, you know, these prediction markets, Kalshi or what have you, about whether there was going to be an attack on Iran on February 28th or to that effect. Millions of dollars. It was about a half a dozen people. Someone suggested that it could be Carolyn Leavitt's husband. It could be Lutnick. These are just names that suggest. I'm not saying that they were the ones behind it, but it's an awful coincidence.
Well, it's not much of a coincidence because the Israelis Israeli press quoted somebody in the Israeli Defense Department that said that the date for the invasion had been set 2 weeks ago. So all you had to do was have access to those people. You might have known about it. Right?
And we're stuck here worried about basketball point shaving, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Childish crap. Yeah. Childish crap.
Yeah, the depth of the theft of American assets, and that's, you know, it's never enough for these folks. They profess to be against government, but what they look at government as is being the largest source of money. For them to. And that's why they want to privatize Social Security.
Yeah,
that's why they want Medicare Advantage. I mean, when you look at where is the big frauds occurring now? It's in Medicare, and it has been for a long time.
Yeah,
people.
But the fraud is not by the patient. The frauds are usually always by the providers. They're the ones who do
yes.
the fraud.
Yeah,
it's the patients that get blamed because they're poor people.
And the patients will get stuck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They get stuck.
Meanwhile, I hope the Democrats are going to do something to oppose this war, to make a point that the war is unconstitutionally waged, illegally waged, for no good aim, and it should stop immediately. And not only that, it costs a lot of money. A lot of money.
That's the thing. The Democrats really don't have an opposition leader.
And Fetterman, by the way, our senator, supports this. He supports the war.
Yep. I saw him on Fox.
Yep.
Talking about it, and he supports it because he said, "Look, the regime was terrible."
Yeah. So what?
The question is.
So what?
It's a separate question. Does that mean we have to do something?
Yeah. The Saudi regime is not terrible. The regime in Myanmar is not terrible. Malay's regime in Argentina just passed a law last week changing the hours of work from 8-hour day as the normal hours of work to a 12-hour day as the normal work. 12 hours is the normal work day now in Argentina. Isn't that terrible? To me, that's terrible.
Let me tell you, when you're preparing for trial, 12 hours a day is a short day.
Well, yes, but you know,
but that's not
that's
every day.
Not working in a factory.
That's not working in a factory.
No, and we have a struggle in this country that started in the 1880s for the 8-hour day, and that we won it. Not we, my father, my grandfather, they won it, and but that's backward, changed altogether in Argentina. Shouldn't we overthrow Argentina's president? After all, look what he did.
Well, but we just signed some sort of agreement. We're going to buy Argentinian beef.
Yeah, $40 billion worth. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what happens with this war. I sincerely hope the Democrats can figure out that they need to oppose it with everything they got, and that an end is put to it immediately. Not because the Iranian government is a good government, but because the American government is a terrible government.
Well, we'll see next week what it looks like.
Yeah, and we have some interesting primaries in Texas coming up.
Yep, this week. So,
So
I doubt if this is going to be a. There's not enough time for it to be a big issue in the campaign.
No, that's right. It's just a day.
Grifting
or two.
Is a big issue.
Yeah, that's true. All right, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.